In politics, everybody thinks the most important thing is the friends you make. Let me give you a clue. The enemies you make.
I'm an independent.
Okay.
I voted for every Democratic president, but I swear to God, every time I gave the Republican a chance.
Is this kind of a little bit of a late 60s element to it or something?
It's a late everything. It's definitely late. I mean, that's why we call it Club Random, because it's definitely random. And everything here is like something that didn't fit anywhere in my real house.
I gather you decorated it yourself.
Decorating is a strong word for what is going on.
Oh, you threw it together?
Well, threw it is much more close to the truth. Like, it was literally thrown in here. But it definitely does not have what you would call a woman's touch. Right. You could see a woman would say, let's pull this together. Whereas this is all apart.
I'm telling you, I know you're a famous non-believer, but assume that there is a heaven. And the definition of heaven is you get assigned to do what you want. When Mary gets to the pearly gates, they're going to say, all right, we got some furniture to rearrange here. And for all of eternity, all you're going to do is move furniture. And let me tell you something, should be in heaven. Again, every time I turn around, I have my chair, you know, where I watch television, and then all of a sudden it's moved.
But I get the feeling that you became a much happier person when you got married.
You know, Bill.
I feel like you're the guy who, you might bitch about it and complain about it, but obviously you have one of the most famous marriages and certainly one of the most famous cross the right. political divide marriages, but it's lasted a very long time.
Now, so I'm a statistical freak. I got married when I was 49. I've only been married once.
Right.
That you know, some people get married 49, but it's very, and I really come from a big family and, you know, but yeah, I'm very, I mean, it's been 30, we got married, it'll be 30 years Thanksgiving.
I can't even, Thanksgiving.
And people were saying it was a, you know, fake marriage.
They said that about the Clintons. And I always said, it's not a fake marriage. It's a very real marriage. It's just one. I mean, I think she was the one who said he's a hard dog to keep on the porch. Right? Okay.
And no one that ever thought it was a fake marriage.
Lots of people say it's an arrangement. And I always said, it's not an arrangement. And he really does love her. He just also loves Strange. Okay. Or did. Yeah, you know, he's an older man now.
I don't. But what I do know is that to people, I know people that said it was an arranged marriage. Okay, I don't know anyone that really knows them that would say that.
Exactly.
I think somebody from a distance would say that.
No, I thought obviously partisans are going to be partisans and they're going to hate when somebody does anything on the other team if they're that kind of person. But unless you're that kind of super partisan, you couldn't watch him at her 2016 convention when he gave her the speech. I met a girl at Yale.
Right.
Remember that?
Right.
You know, he went into that thing about, like, I've never seen her go into a situation and didn't make it better, you know. You just got the feeling that this is somebody, and I remember when they were going through their shit and they asked her what she was going to do, and she said something like, you know, yeah, I thought about leaving, but he's, at the end of the day, the most interesting person I've ever met. And the idea of, like, not having that in my life was just not, you know, tenable. And people like the Clintons, I feel like you saw that part of it. I mean, that it was romantic in its way. He's the most interesting man I could ever talk to. How many people can you say that about?
Well, because he is.
Because what?
Because he is. I mean, he's the most interesting person. I have a smart...
He is?
Stunningly interesting man.
But kind of an egomaniac, no?
Everyone that you and I know at some level is an egomaniac. Who would get into politics?
Yeah. I guess it's levels of it. I don't know him like you know him.
So one time, I worked a lot overseas, and I was doing work in Argentina, and the then finance minister, a man by the name of Domingo Cuvallo, and we were having a drink at the Sheraton Hotel in Puerto Madero or something. The guy comes by and he says, Senor Rodriguez. Cuvallo says, this is James Carville, the man that elected Bill Clinton. No, okay, fine. But, and he said, tell you a story. He said, about a couple, 3 years ago, the OAS had a meeting here and with Sheraton, and President Clinton came, and of course I was the manager, and that greeted him, but, you know, as he would do. And he said, a couple of years later, the Sheraton people called me. They wanted to go to Santiago because they were having a thing, and President Clinton was going to be standing at the Sheraton in Santiago. So I was there, and they asked me to come out and greet the president. And the president, he looks at him, and he says, I thought you were in Buenos Aires. Did you get transferred? These kind of stories are,
right.
You hear them all the time.
I have heard them. About his memory?
Right.
And just his total recall of every detail of every person, and the way he would always stay to the last person in the room wanted to talk to him about something. I mean, yeah.
Could never get it. Wouldn't want to leave. He genuinely.
So who has that kind of political talent now?
Nobody. No. Okay. I mean.
Nobody? No.
Well, some people, the most talented group of politicians I've ever seen in my life in any political party are currently in the Democratic Party.
You just said the opposite, but none of them are as good as Clinton.
Well, right now, because we don't know, because they're not on the, they're in the
so
board.
Who is this dream team that has?
I think that Josh Shapiro is about as talented a politician I've seen.
Okay, but, he's Pennsylvania?
Right.
Governor?
He's a governor. He's great.
I cannot picture him, but that doesn't mean anything because...
No, it doesn't mean anything. I'm just telling you. You hadn't seen him. Wes Moore, Wes and I did real time with you during the pandemic and the whole fucking thing went down.
He's governor of Maryland.
Governor of Maryland.
African-American governor of Maryland.
The governor of Kentucky could be Clinton's talent.
Oh, what's his name again?
Andy Beshear.
Andy Beshear, right. Kentucky, see? The Democrats need a little Kentucky again.
Well, I think we got the election coming up.
I mean, they should remember that the person who, you know, elected Clinton, who had an accent, was you, who has such an accent that, you know, when they do the chyrons, there's a machine that puts the words under podcasts and television shows. They can't do you. Because they don't know what the fuck you're saying. So it comes out gibberish. But you talk and think like America. That's what the Democrats need.
There is this image that, so if you get a couple of voters from wherever, and you ask them, when you think of the Democratic Party, what do you think? Inevitably, it's, well, they're urban. They kind of look out after the cities, and they're old.
Right?
Could you imagine what would happen if we put five people on the stage that could had like string a sentence together and had original thoughts and energy, but they...
Original thoughts and politics?
Are different.
Crazy.
But there's so fucking much talent out there at every level.
Talent. So what is political talent? So you're saying these guys are... talented, Beshear, and any women in this group?
Whitmer,
right.
Gina Raimondo?
Gina Raimondo is
really talented. It was the former governor of Rhode Island. She's now the Secretary of Commerce.
Is Rhode Island a state? Really? Come on.
I don't know, but they think they are. I have a lot of friends in that.
Wouldn't it be great if we could, like, snap our fingers and actually have another constitutional convention where you didn't have to, I mean, because nothing will ever change in this impacted colon of a country because you could never convince enough people who all hate each other now to get behind sensible things. But if you could like just be the king in a constitutional convention, like some of the things, like I would definitely get rid of every state gets two senators no matter how many people so that California gets two with 40 million people and the Dakota Territory gets four. That, like, would go. But you could never get people to agree.
Actually, it's a big thing on the right to have a new constitutional convention. I want to say like
really?
19. Yes, they've had states.
What do they want to get rid of?
It's the all 14th in their, Amendment.
It's
they
all
hate the 14th Amendment.
Really?
Cool, God.
Most of the Constitution's fucked up shit is in their favor. The Second Amendment and the two senator bullshit.
They hate the Reconstruction Amendment. They particularly, the 14th Amendment is equal process.
Right.
You know, equal protection
and
law.
Is that because, I mean, they can't, they're not against black basic civil rights, are they?
Really?
Are they?
Well, how such a civil right that your vote counts and they gerrymander these fucking districts and like...
Of course, I understand what you're saying, and of course they do that, but are they doing it because minorities don't vote for them? In other words, if minorities voted for them, I don't think it's a race thing. Some of it is, but it's more of a, if you don't vote for us thing, then we're going to try to make it that you can't vote. Okay. I think they'd be happy
They said in Wisconsin, some Republicans said, these college kids just roll out of bed and go vote. Well, what the fuck are you supposed to do all my life? I've rolled out of bed and I'm going to vote. What's wrong with that? The kids in Madison are not voting for Republicans, so they don't want college kids to vote. It literally said they just roll out of bed and go vote.
Absolutely. That's so silly. As if you needed like a month to think about it when you already knew who you were going to vote for 2 years before. But somebody in the race currently wants to raise the voting age to 25. Might be Vivek.
He was like everything that people. He had a Harvard degree. Right. He was a tech bro.
Yeah.
It is totally fucking crazy. And so they're all right. And he said, look, I'll get in, I'll fix Ukraine. We'll just give Russia whatever they got. Ukraine will keep what they got. And then we'll say, Russia, you can't have a military alliance with China. Great.
I mean, Vivek sat right there and we chopped it up for quite a while. And, you know, I said to him, I find you both disarming and very alarming because he is unabashed. I mean, no, he insists that he is not running to be Trump's vice president. No, he would never accept that. He's been the CEO of a company, and I like the guy. But, you know, and he could never go back. He'd go from CEO to vice president of the world. Yeah, I think you could. Anyway, so he, to me, looks like he's running to be Trump's vice president. Because if Trump, you know, somehow can't run or, you know, has a heart attack or something, he is positioned as the Trump.
Hate Ron DeSantis.
Who does?
The MAGA base, because DeSantis has done the unforgivable thing. Rob Swami is at least smart. If something happens to Trump,
right?
The MAGA will, you know, he never attacked him. There's no chance they're gonna vote for Mike Pence.
Of course not. Well, that was never in the cards.
No.
Well, I mean, you talk about political talent. Or just, I mean, I always say he looked like the pilot in the film that they show before the plane takes off, you know, who goes over the safety shit. And, oh my God, you have to have a little pizzazz, no matter, right? But you're saying it's because it's all about loyalty
about
the cult leader.
The whole thing.
Yes,
so,
I agree.
So DeSantis thinks that he can go out in outright wing Trump. That's not what motivates these people.
Well, that is kind of what Vivek is doing because, you know, when he said, I want to get rid of 75% of the government, that's out Trumping Trump. I mean,
Trump don't want to get rid of any of the government. He just wants to control it.
Yeah, of course. But I'm saying if you're going to be that kind of meat throwing, fire breathing, salivating, drooling Republican, Vivek is like, you might as well go all the way because that is what, I mean, didn't he win that debate?
When I look at a Republican debate, the way that I determine the winner is the one that irritated me the most. Because if you're fucking irritating me, you're winning that.
Right.
So I score it in reverse order.
So who irritated you the most? That's such a hard one.
DeSantis decided him.
You know who irritated me the most? Borgum. Doug Borgum. or as I call him, President Doug Borgum. Just the, you know, I'm sure he's a sweet guy, but like the ego of like, and what did his wife tell him after? You killed it. Totally nailed it. I think there's going to be a groundswell. I mean, it's just like, come on, man. And the other guy on the end, Hutchinson.
Oh, Asa? You would like, he's a perfectly nice man.
The only politician in America who looks older than Biden. And he went into that thing
The guy that don't give a shit is Chris Christie. He's just going to budge in Trump to, he'll chase him around to whatever. They don't give a fuck.
Let me ask you this. You know, I got to ask this. This came up in conversation at dinner tonight with people. Somebody was saying that, you know, Chris Christie has been to 150 Bruce Springsteen shows. You know, a New Jersey thing.
Right.
You got your Louisiana thing.
Right.
New Jersey. And Bruce Springsteen is awesome, you know.
And Bruce Springsteen is a really good Democrat.
Well, that's the point.
So is Jimmy Buffett, by the way.
Yeah, I know Jimmy. I remember Jimmy.
Yeah, he's a good Democrat.
Almost everybody in show business is a Democrat.
Yeah, because they know.
Well, also, it's just like, you know, I'm an independent.
Okay.
I voted for every Democratic president, but I swear to God, every time I gave the Republican a chance. In other words, I looked at the choices. I didn't just automatically vote Democrat, but I legitimately thought, yes, Bill Clinton will be better as a president than George Bush or Bob Dole would. And then I looked at George Bush, and I looked at John Kerry and Al Gore, and legitimately said, no, these guys are going to be smarter and more compassionate and more effective. And I don't regret that. And then, you know, Obama with McCain and Romney, I looked at them. I don't hate either John McCain or Mitt Romney. There's things to admire about both of them. But I still thought, no, Obama, maybe if it was them against some lesser Democrat along the way who I didn't like. But I just think that to me is how I do it. I know that's not where you are.
I mean, look, when I was a kid, it's the only people that wanted to help black people were the National Democrats. And I grew up in
When you grew up in another era, it was reversed.
Right.
It was the Democrats who were the problem for the
My great-grandfather, not great-great-grandfather, my great-grandfather was immigrated from Ireland, Wisconsin. He was a soldier in the Union Army right at the end of the war. We cannot confirm if he ever saw any combat. He was a classic carpetbagger. He moved to Louisiana.
Right. Right.
He ran and won in the state legislature. He was a Republican. He was actually like the floor leader for Governor Pinchback, who was the first black governor. Remember, Doug Wilder was the first elected black governor.
Right. Yeah.
And
his name? Pinchback?
Governor Pinchback was a governor of.
Sounds like a sketch on the old Steve Allen show. Yeah. Governor Pinchback and.
Remember that thing you
Senator
did?
Filibuster. Senator Filibuster.
One of the best real time routines for a political consultant is to Melanie Stansberry. And how they did these negative ads. I watch that piece. Oh, Kim is in color. I can recite the entire fucking thing. It's one of my favorite things that you
that
ever
makes
did.
Makes me feel so good. But let me ask you this Bruce Springsteen thing. Okay, so Chris Christie's been to 150 Bruce Springsteen concerts. Obviously a big fan. And there was just an article, I guess, in the paper that said, finally, maybe Bruce is like sort of like stopping from just completely freezing him out. You know, he wouldn't talk to him.
I saw that.
Just my point of view, but I feel like Bruce Springsteen shouldn't have done that. Like, when Chris was on the show last time, I called him and we laughed about it. I said, "You're what I call a as good as it gets Republican, and this country should get the fuck over itself and realize it's a big place with lots of people that don't think like you, and you can't hate everybody who's not just completely on your page." It's not going to get a lot better than Chris Christie as Republicans go, the things we don't like about Republicans. And to hate those kind of people where, no, I will not be your friend. I will not talk to you. Maybe it would get better by being friends with people like that.
Yeah, I've done events with him. He's come a lot. He's a personal guy. There's something people don't realize.
But he's not a monster who he could play one a movie, but.
Connecticut does not have a culture, okay? I'm serious. New Jersey actually has a culture. Like Bruce Springsteen is too. I mean, he's like a cultural icon.
And yes.
They go to the shore. They don't go to Cape Cod. They don't go to Miami.
We went to the shore. This is my upbringing.
And they actually have a culture. They have iconic things.
Yes.
And we say
water. And for some reason, they think that's pronouncing it wrong. I don't understand that.
I don't know either.
I just wish people could, get over themselves a little bit about who they won't fucking mingle with. Mingle.
This is so.
Right?
Right. It's so.
Mingle.
It's now become, everything is a purity test. And
That's what I'm saying.
I don't like that.
I don't either.
I don't like it.
I did an editorial once where you and Mary were in it because I quoted the thing about you to getting married on Thanksgiving because it was one of these pleas I've done to look, the people who you don't completely agree with are not the enemy. You know, the most three most important words in a relationship are not I love you, they're let it go. Right? Let it go. And I think, and it was a very sweet thing we said about you and Mary. And I think we quoted her as saying, yeah, our idea of fun, isn't to argue about the earned income tax credit or something. You just don't waste your time, right? You don't waste your time. Here's the key to a relationship. Kids, don't go there if you know that's not a place where if you do go, you're going to have a good time. Right?
I stuck my finger in that socket. about the fifth time, I said, I'm just not going to stick my finger in. I'm a slow learner.
Well,
right?
I would say at our age, the key for me anyway, I'm not going to speak for you, but the key components that I really treasure are acceptance and comfort. When I was 21, I backpacked in Europe and stayed in hostels. I was okay at 21. I couldn't do it now. And acceptance, accept. Yeah, we're not going to agree on everything.
No.
And it's okay. It's everybody just has such a fucking bad attitude.
But, so many people think that they're defined by their politics.
Right.
And
so
I mean,
true.
Politics is part of my definition. And look, if you're a racist, we're not going to get along very well.
No.
Of
course.
If I see you, I'll tell you hello, but I really don't. I'm not interested in developing.
Nope.
But if you think differently than I do, or you have a different view, it of course, living where I live, I probably run into more in a social life as many Republicans as Democrats.
Of course.
If you live out here, you don't.
Right, because you're in the D.C. area?
Right.
Right. I mean, it's the town industry. It's like what show business here is, or Detroit with cars, right?
But a lot of these people get along better than you think, but they can't.
I saw that the first time I did something in Washington in 1995, Politically Incorrect.
Right.
Remember that show?
I'd been
on for 2 years.
Right.
And I was doing the whatever that dinner is where the...
The White House correspondent.
I think maybe that was it. Anyway, I said under my breath at one point, I fucked up a joke and I went, oh, fuck it. And the next year, People magazine said, last year, Bill Maher delivered an obscenity-laced monologue. But anyway, I saw Newt Gingrich and Clinton backstage and they were getting along fabulously. And that's when I knew, okay, this is a big show. I remember that so vividly, seeing them in the wings, talking, laughing. You could tell just by the eye contact. They didn't hate each other.
It's one of the things about Washington, it's a very prudish place.
Yes.
I mean, they believe that they're the upholders of some morality, sexual standard for the rest of the country, and they're full of shit. They're just like everybody else.
Worse.
I remember they had Imus when Clinton was president.
Yeah.
Like, well, if you fucking invite Imus, if you invite a snake, you don't be surprised if it bites you. That's what the guy does. And it was all like a gas. And I went on some show and I said, everybody needs to calm down. Don't get mad at him, get the people that invited him. If you invite Bill Maher, he's going to bite you.
Yeah, I don't think I even bit anybody that day. I don't remember. I mean, it was so long ago, but...
When during the scandals, my God, people were like fainting in the street.
Well, I mean, the problem with a room like that for a comedian is that there's almost nothing that isn't somehow offensive to somebody. And if you try to rise above that to the degree of their sensitivity, what you'll be saying will be so bland. Which is why they really shouldn't ever hire a political comedian in that place anyway. Nobody ever succeeds, really, very few. Stephen Colbert did awesome, I have to say, with Bush. That was a brilliant moment. I got to give him that. But usually that is just, they should have a fucking juggler or a ventriloquist or something, because everybody can just enjoy together.
It's all about, so this is the way the White House correspondence center works. So everybody, they want someone because they take their advertisers.
Because they what?
They take their advertisers. So the Washington Post has a table.
So
they want to have somebody
Chiron operator.
Visa. It's the same thing with ABC. It became the first celebrity. Remember Fawn Hall?
Fawn Hall was whose?
It was right during the Reagan administration.
Who was she? She was somebody's mistress?
Yeah, Fawn Hall. Yeah. Somebody bought her to the White House Correspondents' Dinner.
Was it scandalous?
No, it started a trend where they would have Colbert or Imus or Bill Maher.
But I feel like Fawn Hall... No, I'm sorry, Fawn, if this is a...
She was said something to Ollie North.
Maybe I'm just trying to make this hotter than it was, but I love that name. And somehow I feel like she was hot and was fucking somebody. But again, that just could be my mind going where it wants
but
to go.
You and I have the same mind. Everybody's fucking somebody else.
She was selling missiles to Adnan Khashoggi. I mean, I don't know.
Right.
But... it's amazing the mist of time, right? Like, there was a time when Fawn Hall, we both would have known exactly who that was.
I remember Donna Rice.
Now, Donna Rice, of course, was Gary Hart's mistress.
And the pimp
or
was,
not, I don't know.
The pimp was a guy from Louisiana, Bill Broadhurst.
Pimp?
Well, he was the guy that brought them together on the boat with the famous picture. I don't know.
Yeah, I mean, he said she... asked if she could sit on my lap or something, and I chose to be a gentleman. But then when she started twerking, he started putting 20s in her G-string, I was like, come on. I mean, now we're going to get suspicious. But he was the one who famously said to the press,
Follow
me.
Yeah.
Right. And, I mean, you could
Carl Taylor was the reporter.
First of all, you don't even have to invite the press these days to do that. But... you couldn't even imagine baiting them like that because they were like, well, of course we're going to we're following you already, you moron.
Is it Paul Taylor was the reporter that broke that story to Washington Post?
Do you think they really were having an affair?
You know, I assume that everybody's fucking everybody else. And then I'm wrong, I'm willing to revive my opinion, but I kind of go in.
Fucking unless proved otherwise.
Right. I assume, and then somebody says, no, actually, no, okay. I mean, I don't care. Yeah. Fine with me.
Did you know that if you're an employer who's hiring, the average cost per hire is $4,700? If you're investing that much money into each new hire, you want to get it right. So what's the most effective way to find the best people for your roles? ZipRecruiter. See for yourself. Right now, you can try it for free at ZipRecruiter.com/random and experience the value ZipRecruiter brings to hiring. ZipRecruiter finds you more qualified candidates faster. Once you post your job, ZipRecruiter's smart technology works quickly to identify people whose skills and experience match it. ZipRecruiter sends you a list of available great matches for your job so you can review the top ones. It's simple. ZipRecruiter helps you get hiring right. 4 out of 5 employers who post on ZipRecruiter get a quality candidate within the first day. See for yourself. Go to this exclusive web address to try ZipRecruiter for free before you commit. ZipRecruiter.com/random. Again, that's ZipRecruiter.com/random. ZipRecruiter, the smartest way to hire. Everybody's always busy, and it's hard to find wholesome, convenient meals for jam-packed days. Factor, America's number one ready-to-eat meal kit, can help you fuel up fast with meals delivered straight to your door. So you'll save time, eat well, and stay on track with your healthy lifestyle. And I know because Factor sent me their food, and it was so good that my chef threatened to quit. With Factor, skip the extra trip to the grocery store, which may be in a mall, which means if you're in California, you greatly reduce your chances of getting caught in a smash and grab. And forget the chopping, prepping, and cleaning up too, while still getting the flavor and nutritional quality you need. Factor's fresh, never frozen meals are ready in just 2 minutes. So all you have to do is heat and enjoy. Choose from more than 34 weekly dietitian-approved meals and level up with gourmet plus options, prepared to perfection by chefs and ready to eat in record time. Simply choose your meals and enjoy fresh meals delivered to your door. Ready in just 2 minutes, no prep, no mess. Head to factormeals.com/random50 and use code RANDOM50 to get 50% off. That's code RANDOM50 at factormeals.com/random50 to get 50% off.
It's amazing the way the sex scandal... You know,
well, Trump just blew past. He just
right.
drove, the one thing that we'll have to say about him is he said, I could shoot someone on Fifth Avenue and my people wouldn't give a shit. He actually is an adjudicated rapist on Fifth Avenue. A court of competent jurisdiction, a judge said by any common definition of the word rape, you raped that woman.
This is the dressing room one?
Yeah.
Okay. I mean, that may have happened, but I mean...
A jury in a court said it did.
That fucking means nothing to me, because I know what they know, which is nothing. They know two people said two different things about something that happened in the 90s, and of which there's no witnesses or tape.
Well, you know
so
what?
So we can't... I can't... Look, I hate Donald Trump as much as anybody, but I can't say for sure I just know that. Just because nine people said they think that, I can't...
First of all...
But yes,
they had more evidence. In other
they
words,
did?
Yes. So she told me
what was
this happened.
What was the evidence?
Other people that she told contemporaneous with it.
Well,
which
you
is
know,
pretty,
okay.
whatever. A jury said that,
okay.
that he
you know
did.
What? You know more about this case than apparently I do. But, and maybe if I knew everything, I would be completely
I know that a jury.
Yeah.
I tend to have more faith than most people. In juries, I think most of them really try to weigh what's there. And I do know that a jury, but now I get too technical here, but by a preponderance of the evidence,
right?
It's a little bit of a different standard in a criminal case. It's beyond a reasonable doubt.
Yeah, I'm admitting. I didn't know that there was like evidence. I just thought it was he said, she said. So, okay. So, but like, the way he has been able to have the hush money, you've got a porn star, a rape, I grab pussies, like when you're a celebrity, they let you do it. There is a genius to his madness. And the thing I always say about Trump, you have to remember, he's stupid and crazy. And they're two completely different things. And this is like the crazy part. Works for him because he's without a mechanism to edit or to pull back. So, you know, as my friend Jimmy always says, insanity photographs. You can't take your eyes off him. Obviously, whenever they put him on TV, the ratings go through the roof. And that's why insane people are charismatic. You can't look away. So when he does... All this, I mean, not just sexual stuff, but certainly the sexual stuff. It's like,
I'm going to own them. No one else in the world would even think of this as a strategy. And he has no strategy. It's just what he feels. He's all id. But to own that, to own being this kind of guy, and half the country likes it. Or at least it's not a deal breaker because they feel like it's honest.
At least he's honest. He says what he thinks.
As a right now, yeah.
He doesn't have to. And what you like is he tells you it's okay if you if you hate other people. He validates. But that guy says, I like because he says what I think.
Well, he plays on the fact that his people think that your people hate them and look down on them and see them as deplorables. I mean, I think they take...
Do you know? There's some truth to that.
Oh, there's a lot of truth.
As good a Democrat.
Yes, you
are. The next person. But you hear this shit, so I don't know if we ever talked about this before, but the best example I've ever seen was in early 2020, before the pandemic. LSU played Clemson in the Superdome in New Orleans for the national championship. A guy, Benjamin, the New York Times editorial writer, said that the Sanders-Warren student loan thing applied to real schools or schools like LSU that they called off classes the day after the national championship game. Like, okay, so it's 80 miles away. You got 20,000 drunk kids going to the football game. And the president universally wisely says, we're not going to have class tomorrow. And, like, this is not a real school. Well, fuck you. This is real school like in any other place. The way that people look at, there is a certain coastal arrogance in this country, and people feel it. Right?
Yes.
They just do. And you can't tell me that it doesn't exist because I know that it does.
I feel it. I feel it all the time. Yes, there is. Yeah, it's a lot what we were just saying before about people have to be able to talk to each other, even if you don't completely agree. The other person is not a deplorable. I get it. Like, I would
Some of them are.
Of course they are. Some of them are.
Yeah,
yes.
Yeah, okay. But
yeah, that's true. And some people on the left are deplorable.
I find the left to be just annoying.
Exactly.
They're more than just not important. It's just annoying.
Exactly.
And the Western far left is habitually the most stupid, naive people you can imagine. And they come up with these really goofy constructs, and it's all about feeling good about yourself.
Yeah, well, and just feeling, as opposed to, like, free speech. Like, if your feelings are hurt, that's more important than free speech.
You know, I told my students, I said, the only reason that I have not invited David Duke to this class is I am a fucking moral coward. I don't want the president of the university to crap a pineapple.
Oh, my God.
I don't want to... Well, I would have zero philosophical problem. And if I'm your teacher and this son of a bitch comes and change your mind, then shame on me. I'm not worried about it. But I don't understand. I literally don't understand it.
No, by the way, I think it would be quite interesting to see someone like you talk to him because, like, we don't really see in our normal lives, and this is a point of progress, racists. You know, people who are very overtly racist?
Yeah.
What do they do? Where do you see them?
You know, they'll come up. But you can just tell. I mean, some people, that's racist.
What do they say?
Well, no one's going to, like, say it to me. But I know people come on. Man, they're everywhere. You kidding me?
They are definitely there. I don't know if they're everywhere.
When somebody says, you know, I like what Trump says, I get it. Yeah, if that, somebody that has a Confederate flag on the back of a fucking pickup truck,
a Confederate,
I know what you're saying.
Okay,
I see them all the time.
A Confederate flag, yes.
I see it all the time.
Okay, I like what Trump's saying. No, that's too big a stretch. There are plenty of people who like Trump who are not racists. You think
of course I'm not going to. You're not going to trap me in the sand. Every person that likes Trump is a racist. But let me put it this way. Not all Trump people are racist, but all racists are Trump people.
That's true.
Okay. I'm going to be so stupid. But you have a certain level of comfort.
He's doing better with minorities.
Because if you're, think about it. So you're a black guy. You work at a tire repair shop in Gulfport, Mississippi.
Okay.
And, you know, you like to smoke weed, convince a woman, watch a football game, scratch your ass. And you got all these preachy people telling you what you should do. And people don't like preachy people. They don't want to be told that they're immoral, of, you know, the fact that you like to smoke dope and, you know, watch immoral football games.
Yeah,
and
there's definitely a feeling in the country that the Republicans are the daddy party and the Democrats are the mommy party. For some good reason, Democrats certainly are more the party of compassion, and that you very often associate more with your mother than your father. And fathers are the party of discipline. We did an editorial about this once. I think it was pretty funny about, like, the Republicans are really the deadbeat dad party because they used to be like the ones who were like fiscally responsible in this household. We watch every penny. And that went out the window. And lots of other things where they kind of like,
this whole thing, there is nothing. So, when I grew up, they were like square-jawed people. They wore suits. They showed up to meeting time. They had briefcases.
Right.
You know, they talked about.
Yes, they were bankers, the party of business.
Right. Yes. Yeah.
Right.
They were business oriented. Right. They were some more patriotic. Right. There was the guy at the hardware store that coached the little league team and, you know, gave money to the, Christmas present drive for poor. If Trump just blew that whole thing up, how does it not?
Right.
Trump is anti-abortion? Come on. How many abortions do you think Trump has made?
Maureen Dowd once asked him about abortion in his life, and I think his answer was, what an interesting question. Like, what's your next question? He just, you know. And again, he gets away because he's insane. I'm telling you, they talk about the narcissism like it's a personality quirk. It's not. He's a nut. He's a fucking nut. He really is a nut. The fact that he commits his crimes in public.
And confesses to them.
And like, I got rid of the FBI director because there was a lot of pressure on me. Like, yes, that's your interior monologue. There's a lot of pressure on me because the FBI's looking into me for good reason. You don't say, so I invited the Russians in. I mean, like, it's so beyond it. This is not.
He had the Russian ambassador showing him top secret shit. He was showing the guy at Bedminster. Look at these.
But I mean, he does one a day, or he did when he was president, like something that only a nut would do. It's amazing to me that we lived through those 4 years, because when I look back on it, and of course the Trump people say, you have Trump derangement syndrome, and yeah, he blew up the world, right, Bill? You're right. He didn't blow up the world. I still think he could, okay? Is that completely crazy that I think a crazy person could blow up the world? No.
The shit that he did is, like, stunning. The documents case, if you stop and you think about it, like,
I could read 1,000 tweets that are just insane that just went by. I remember there was one that said he was mad at China, and he said, I hereby, like he's the king, I hereby order all American companies to immediately, you know, work on a plan to change he was like ordering them to get out of China. I hereby order. And again, that's just insane that nobody else would even think to do that. But he doesn't think. That's his insanity and his attraction to people.
Let me ask you a question. Okay, history eventually finds out. They find this asshole Pius the 12th. They found the letter where they told him they were gassing.
The Pope during World War II?
Yeah. All right, we know from history he's been outed, I guess is what you would say.
Right.
Do you think when all the history is known, would you guess that the Russians have compromise on Trump, or that's just liberal fantasy?
No, I have always said that the Russian hoax theory is a hoax. Plainly, there was something going on between Russia and Trump. It was not perhaps, first of all, I always thought Mueller blew it. He could have completely done it differently.
Totally.
They got a guy who was past his prime, and boy, he was too by the book, and history could have been very different. But okay.
I would go, if you gave me 3-1 odds in their records and I can prove, I wouldn't be surprised there's a P-tape.
No, I'm sure. I don't think there could be, absolutely. Right.
But would you be shocked?
No.
Of course not.
But here's what we do know about Russia. It's like there's a few things we do know. I don't think it's a giant mystery. I think we know what it was. First of all, his campaign manager was sharing campaign information with a GRU agent. Okay, that's a real thing. That Kalimnik dude. Okay, that's a real thing. And he said what we heard him say publicly. Russia, if you're listening, no, Eisenhower didn't like offer Brazil or some country to fuck with our elections. Again, the insanity of doing it publicly. And it just, it's like the guy who was fucking around, so he gets the center table at the hottest restaurant in town with the girl. If I was going to fuck her, would I be here in the, where everyone can see me? It's hiding in plain sight. And he does it. He gets away with it. And he's going to, you know, I think he easily could be the president again.
But right now, if let's assume the election was November the 3rd of this year.
Oh, Lord.
And they said the candidates are Joe Biden, the Democrat, Donald Trump, the Republican, Joe Manchin and Larry Hogan, no labels, and Cornel West. Mm. Trump would be a betting favorite.
Yes.
If I told you I would give you even money, you would not take that bet. All right? So somebody better wake the fuck up.
I might take even money, but you're right. I'm totally on the same page. And I think I talked to Paul Begala today.
I think
we're on the same page with Biden. Did a great service, but whereas in 2020, maybe he was the only one who could have beaten Trump, I think now he's the only one who will lose to him. He did great, not just because he beat Trump, but a lot of stuff he did, Afghanistan, Ukraine he handled right, everybody else's economy was worse than ours after the pandemic. These are some pretty big things, but he will lose because at some point perception becomes reality. And look, do I think he can do the job? Absolutely. Government, as you well know better than anybody, is done in small rooms like the Oval Office where people are talking quietly and decisions are made. I think he still can do that fine. He cannot run for president. He'll look bad in the debates. It's too much. And he's I think, going to lose. He will be Ruth Bader Biden, the Ruth Bader Ginsburg of the presidency. It's not a good look. And any 50-ish, not stupid, woke Democrat with a D by their name, people just vote D and R, that person can win.
Could win easily.
Easily.
If we had somebody under 60 and ran against Trump, we'd get 55%.
Right.
I mean, it'd be numbers. But, by the way, if you look at the I don't like when people take one poll and extrapolate too much of them, but I've seen the last 8 polls are all the same. 73% to 77% of the country does not want Biden to run again. I'm going to just round that to 75.
Right.
Okay. That's a big fucking number, man.
That's a big number. It's a very big number for something crucial. It's ridiculous.
So if you look at the last poll I looked at, and a poll has a rhythm. So they said if it's Biden versus Trump, 47.5 to 47, I don't know, the same thing, 47, 47, 48, 48, Biden versus DeSantis, 48, 46. Biden versus Nikki Haley, 49-43. I have never seen an incumbent president at 43. Now, do people actually know Nikki Haley's position on anything? Not really.
But it's
just a new name, and they might know that she's can fog a mirror.
Right.
But you can just feel.
What do you think of Nikki Haley? Because, like, again, I feel like this is, I know they hate this term, I don't mean it to be insulting Republicans, but she's another as good as it gets Republican. It's not going to get better than these kinds of people.
No.
There is no imaginary Alan Alda from the West Wing Republican that exists. Am I right?
You're right. And the reason is that they have stupid voters.
They're base.
Going to produce. remember Maddox was the governor of Georgia, and he said the problem with Georgia prisons is the quality of the inmate.
Right.
We can't seem to get along the inmate.
But see, this is why they hate you, because you just said stupid voters. And let me just, I like to channel everybody's side. When they hear that, stupid voters, they're like, yeah, okay, maybe we're stupid, but you think you're doing some stupid things in your own way, like pregnant men? Right? That's what they say. I get it. I would never vote for Trump, but I get it.
This is my problem. You and I. The problem is. Of the Democratic Party, the percent of Democrats, and we know this over. A huge unfold. So, what do you describe? About 10-11% of Democrats describe themselves as progressive liberal, whatever that means.
Is that right?
Okay. Yes. It's a very, and this is survey after survey. And these people are annoying, silly, but they come to you because you live here, you work in entertainment, the identity left is all around you.
Yes.
Most people don't even know what they're talking about.
I know.
By the way, the number of MAGA people is 65%. So we pay a greater price for 10% of our party than they pay for 65% of their party. And our people, the identity left are silly. They're not evil. They're just goofy. They have to. The original word woke, and I did some research on this. The first time that people think it came up was a black jazz musician who was born in around Shreveport, died in a jail in Houston. And the word was to denote that black people need to be woke in their interactions with the police.
I've heard that also.
Which seemed like a good idea. That's what they call in the military, situational awareness.
Absolutely.
And then what happened was, overeducated coastal white people got a hold to the word, and as they do everything else, they completely fucked it up and pissed everybody in the country off.
Now you're speaking my
language. And if we just could get the humanities faculty at Amherst to shut the fuck up, we'd be a lot better off.
You know, it's so funny. My friends who are around my age, 40, they're always bitching about their, like, kids, you know, who are in their 20s, because they're just like out of control, super woke, and they drive them crazy. And it's like, it's old thinking, mom. You don't get it. And I said to them, just tell them, get what? Like, abolish the police? No, you got me. I don't get that. You know, things like that. Legalizing shoplifting. No, I don't get it. You know, bringing back communism. I don't get it. You know, and so it's not that I'm old, it's that your ideas are stupid.
So the day that they had the Lauren Boebert incident in Denver, Politico ran a story that she'd become a Washington insider. She was like trying to work in the system. Washington loves a story that they're civilizing effect. And
man, when they send a redneck to Washington, they do not fuck around.
Don't you love when they go and interview these people at a Trump rally? I shouldn't. It's not a way that a human being should feel.
Right.
But there's some. It's amusing. And of course, they have somebody with, hey, like, Trump, grab my pussy, and you look at it, and ain't nobody in the world want to like get within a mile of your pussy. Don't worry. Anybody's going to grab that pussy. If they get through the fat wrinkle to get to it, they wouldn't even know.
I feel like the people who go to the rallies are the worst. Yeah. These are the people who, when you said before, some of them are deplorable. Yes, some of them are. I feel like those are the types who, if you're actually getting your ass out to go to a Trump rally, I mean, what? You don't have the grades to get into the tractor pull?
I love these. When I see it on the, when they, like, somebody goes and they interview people.
Yeah.
I got to admit, it gives me, I shouldn't do it. It's not, you should never do it in my business. I actually feel superior to these people. Jeez, I'm pretty fucking stupid, but this is like,
right. Whereas the obnoxious left feels superior to you.
But see, I laugh at the obnoxious right. I find them humorous.
Oh, I find them both humorous.
Obnoxious right. Left, they believe that they actually want Trump to win re-election because they've always believed, the German communists would march in the streets of Berlin and to say, the worse, the better, after Hitler, us. Mm. The left, if you read these really left-wing things, they believe that there are sleeper cells all around the country, and once they're exposed to the real thing, to, real distribution and state ownership, they're going to rise up. And working people are going to seize the proletariat. My favorite thing in all of politics is the dictatorship of the proletariat.
This is what?
Is it communists that left wing back in the 19th century called it the dictatorship of the proletariat? And what they would say to you and I: free speech. The oppressor cannot have free speech.
Right.
The oppressed. Now, who is the arbiter of the oppressor? Or the oppressed, I have no fucking idea who makes that determination.
It's a very scary time as far as, like, people who, on both sides, think that the other side is such an existential threat that anything is justified for winning. I mean, this is where the Republicans already are. Now, to the Democrats' great credit, they are not there yet at all. The Republicans are the only ones who think these people are so nuts, and sometimes they are nuts. We've been talking about it. They're so nuts that we can't let them take over because, it'll just be all pregnant men all the time, that kind of thing. So they're like, if it takes a right-wing coup and nullifying elections, okay, that's where they are as a party. That's why they won't. Why Christie's the only one who's going against Trump, and he's not going to win doing that. You're right. No. You cannot buck that idea that the Democrats are a bigger threat. That's the philosophical underpinning of all of it. The Democrats are a bigger threat, or liberal thinkers, our whole side, okay, is a bigger threat than Russia, than anything, than our own democracy. Like, you can fuck with elections to keep them out of power because they're nuts. And even if we are nuts, you can't do it that way.
Right.
We got to stick.
Again, I'll come back. It's 10% of the Democratic Party as opposed to 65% of the Republican Party. Do you think Joe Biden, if you tried to explain to Joe Biden what woke is, do you think you could even explain it to him?
No, he's like...
What are you saying, pal? Let me get this straight now.
He's like...
I'm sorry, it's...
He's like the dad who, he doesn't really understand what the kids are into, but he doesn't want to fight about it either. So when the wife is like, honey, the kids want to cut their dicks off and tear down a statue of Lincoln, he's like, whatever, I'm watching the game.
You think Chuck Schumer is woke? It's counting votes. Be careful, we don't want to get primaried.
Right.
okay. But, most of these guys, They have no, they don't even understand it. They don't even understand what they, what they're talking about.
Right. And, well, we did a thing once on the fact that the job in America that you can have that gives you the best prestige and the greatest perks while having zero qualifications is Congress. Like almost anything else, you need some sort of qualifications. But you can be, as Marjorie Taylor Greene was, stacking the weights at CrossFit. So no. you can get elected from prison.
Yeah, prison can
no
be in prison.
No qualifications, and yet if you get it, you have a corner office. You have the good table at the restaurant. You have people asking your opinion like you know something. You go on talk shows. People blow you. Lobbyists blow you.
So, okay. That's, so how would you, but if you would, if you change it, if you did a constitutional convention, all right, and I'd say, fuck it, the people know it and they vote for them. What do you want me to do?
No. Well, as Churchill said, it's the worst system except for all the others. Right. I mean, I'm not saying we get rid of elected government, but as long as you bring up my constitutional convention, like, but, we do need to straighten out the, I mean, just because the system barely held last time and barely.
It may not break, we ain't won shit.
What?
Just, we're still in jeopardy.
So much jeopardy. Yeah.
And you talk about the nature of 18% of the people in the United States elect 52 senators.
Yes.
And that's not going to change.
No.
That's not going to change.
That's what I was saying about the, you'd never get to enough people to just sensibly give up their whatever side they're on and do the right thing for the country. And I don't know what that forebodes for our future if you can't really get people to do, you know. And yet, you know what's amazing about this country? The economy never stops.
They don't stop.
Never fucking stops. That's the one thing Americans are good at, boy. We fucking work and love fucking money and spending money and making money and money.
So I flew out here.
Wow.
And I went to on Delta, and if you have a American Express card, a day ticket, you can get into the club. I could not find a seat in there. And these motherfuckers were like, I went to the sundry shop to get a bottle of water to take on a plane. They were spending $90, $100. I'm like, put that fucking credit card back. You don't buy this shit here. It costs you $50. You can go. They spend, you cannot stop people from spending money.
That, I always think the same thing when I'm out. Like, where does everyone get all this money? You
know, I don't think they have it. I think the pandemic so traumatized people, like, fuck it. I ain't gonna wait around and be
traumatized. They loved it. They sat home, most of them, and got money sent to them. It was fantastic. They stopped going to work. By the way, kids now, another one of the great repercussions of their brilliant pandemic policy. Kids now, did you see this in the paper? Don't go to school anymore. Oh, not at nearly the rates they did, and truancy levels, just people who go, yeah, I don't feel like going today. That's just like through the roof.
So
I mean, how can a country continue? Already, kids come out of high school, they do not know anything. I mean, anything. Like, for a lot of kids in this country who are 18 who can vote, watching this would be like we were speaking in Chinese. We mentioned people they never fucking heard of or don't care about and never will. We mentioned things that were going on. They have no idea. I don't know how a country can really move forward successfully.
So the provost at Tulane told me this. There was if you remember, there was this uproar at NYU in pre-med. There was a chemistry teacher. And we have a test and like three quarters of the pre-med students at NYU flunked it. So they got rid of the teacher.
Yeah.
You know the interesting thing about that is that guy had been there for 25 years and had given the same test for 25 years.
Now, I asked Bernie Sanders when he was on our, I think it was the overtime thing, what's the difference between equity and equality? And he had, I remember he had a hard time answering. It was like, I was surprised he hadn't like thought about that.
I've become more liberal. As most people say that you, as you age, you become more conservative. I actually think I've become more liberal.
On what issue are you more
liberal? I'll give you one. Daycare. I never thought about daycare.
Really?
Well, I didn't have kids, and I was in my 50s, and I was working for
a
president.
But I mean, that's a political issue. You must. It must have been an issue with Clinton.
It was somewhat, but it's...
Daycare? I thought that's...
Huge issue. So I have a grandchild. Mm. And my daughter is in graduate school at LSU. And she called me. She never asked me anything. She says, Dad, we got to get him in LSU daycare. And if you think about it, all these universities have to have daycare, and they have childhood development teachers and students.
Right.
And, okay, so sure. It's the faculty. And it costs very little. If you, we were talking about this on camera, and a cameraman told me that he pays more for daycare than his mortgage. Every other country has free daycare. Mm. All of these people are complaining we can't get enough employees. Well, do what Elizabeth Warren had federal daycare. It's the best idea. We ought to have that. That's not the federal government getting it. You can take your kid. They can get nutrition. They can get interact with other kids. They can do that. Mom can work and come back and pick you up after work. You just ask people what daycare costs for ordinary people. And if you can get it, it's stunning. And that is a block. If you want to have equality for women, you would start with free or very inexpensive, high-quality daycare.
Yeah, I think you're right.
I've just become, like, fanatically liberal on that.
I don't think, see, to me, that is the definition of not fanatically liberal. That's the definition of classically liberal. That's when I say to people, I'm mostly an old school liberal. That's the kind of stuff I'm in. It's practical. It's not just catching you at something. It's actually trying to fix something. Now, it all depends on how you do it. I mean, I also am very skeptical of how we fucking spend money because the amount we waste is astronomical. I was just shocked at how much of COVID money was just flat out stolen or given away to fucking rich people. That kind of stuff pisses me off, and it doesn't, you know, make me lose my liberal card if I go, you know, there's a certain amount of money that if you waste, I'm going to notice. I get it. You can't transfer money except with the leaky bucket. I get it. I'm not asking for a completely unleaky bucket, but what you got there is a handle because it's all going out. But daycare, something like daycare, I get that one. That's like a classic program that, like, because it probably would fix, like, so many other things down the road.
Would there be shady operators getting into it with some fucking
right.
private equity people decide that, yes. You know, it's like people say, well, in Ukraine, there's corruption, the money we give them. The oldest profession in the world is prostitution. The second oldest is war. And the third oldest, followed by about 3 seconds, is war profiteering.
Yeah.
All right. You know how much war profiteering there was in the Union during the Civil War?
Iraq.
Iraq?
Yeah.
World War II, even. I mean.
Yeah, but World War II, that's the one they were pretty good on.
They had a
commission.
They did.
That, like people were in line.
They were scared.
I mean, there was a.
Some people did well, but in Civil War, they really did well.
There was a year or two when American car companies made no cars because they were only making
war. That's true, making normal ones.
Yeah.
Yeah, yes.
The only cars they made were like that big fucking thing that...
But the car companies, it's great, but they got paid for it.
Okay. Oh, of course.
Yeah, I don't, as they should. I mean, I don't have a...
No.
People like that make bullets, they pay for them.
But it is amazing, like... As shitty as it seems, everything is going. Like, you're right. People are just out there living their best life and spending a lot of money, and it just doesn't have the feel that we're at the end of the empire. And I'm sure there are people who look at us talking this way about, oh, we're on the edge, but we kind of are.
Okay, you know.
Certainly politically.
I always kind of think I've had a kind of optimistic view of the world. I don't know if I do. I mean, no, first of all, this climate thing. Okay, we ought to respect everybody. Everybody is entitled to an opinion. We should be, we don't have to agree with people. I'd like to haul off and punch somebody's fucking people right in the mouth, okay? I mean, are you looking at what's happening in the world and telling me this is some kind of, your guy, Vivek?
My guy. Vivek.
He said it's a hoax.
Okay. You got to learn his name, Vivek Ramaswamy.
Okay, Vivek. I'm terrible at names.
At the Republican debate, they all purposefully fucked up his name to, like, you know, that's the way they do a debate. Like, his subtle, you know, dog whistle, he's foreign because I can't even say. And the one who really, I thought, showed me she wants it badly, Nikki Haley, fucked up his name, and she's also Indian. So I was like, oh, hey, too, Nikki. Really? Come on, come on.
You know, you don't get to be governor of South Carolina, but that being the number one.
But I mean, isn't that great that, like, you know, even South Carolina, and I say even, I'm sure that's insulting to the people of South Carolina, but come on, you're pretty southern, a lot of history of racism state.
Oh, really?
Yeah. So, like, for them to have a governor who's not white, it's like, yeah, you're not impressed by that at all?
Tell you a story about South Carolina. This is, it's been 10 years ago, maybe a little bit more. Let's get a call to a senator. Lindsey Graham wants to talk to you. I said, great, so call. James, how you doing? It's fine, Senator. He said, there's a thing in Charleston called the Hibernia Society, and they don't ever have Democrats, but they want to know if you'd come speak to them.
Okay.
And I said, well, you know, Senator calls me, it's Charleston. It was like during the springtime. So I go there, and these motherfuckers are like, in tuxedos, and they wind up. And so I'm sitting on the podium, the guy that brought in Mark Sanford.
Yeah, I remember. Okay?
And it was during the whole thing in Argentina.
Trail.
Right. So I look under my chair, and there's a fifth of Maker's Mark. And I said, well, what is this for? So we put it there so you could drink before. I said, well, I can't sit here front 1,500 fucking people. And I said, well, Governor Barber drank the whole thing last year. I said, well, Governor Barber is a better man than I am. And so I went to Sanford and I said, look, I got to tag you, okay? I just can't sit up here and, like, crack jokes for 10 minutes and act like this. He said, fine, I understand.
Yeah, okay.
And he wrote me a nice note out. So we're sitting there, and all of a sudden, everybody starts standing up and singing Dixie. And I'm like, fuck, what am I going to do? I mean,
really?
And so the moral coward that I am, I decided that I would stand up, but I wouldn't sing. And when I tell you, and there was Senator Hollins was still alive. He was there. Joe Riley was mayor of Charleston, but the Democrat was mayor of Charleston. I don't know,
do they still sing Dixie today?
I don't know. I'd be interested.
That's what I mean. Like, I'm always just trying to, I just want the truth, you know? I just want the truth about what's going on in this country. It's like, that little things like that can help you know, okay, we made this more a little bit of progress. They don't fucking sing Dixie at this
I would love to know, and maybe somebody will see this, and determine, do they still sing Dixie at the Hibernia Society?
Yeah, right. And if they do, that tells us something. And if they do, that tells us something. But, you know, as generations age out, you know, I mean, it's the people our age who are the problem, I'm sure mostly, you know, people of a certain age, white people, who just grew up in a different time, and their lives have been perhaps not perfect and frustrating, and so they kind of take it out by having that racist strain in them. But these people, you know, that's not the future. It's not even the present. It's not even the people. They're retired. I mean, when I think of that kind of guy, Remember there was that guy who like shot somebody who came to his door?
Oh yeah, that happened more than, it was in Kansas City.
Yeah.
It's yeah, like, that happened. That's yeah. happened more than once. And, you know, I think the most consequential event, maybe of my lifetime, and I'm serious, I've thought about this a long time, was Bush v. Gore. Do you understand, if they would not stop that vote count, we would have an entirely different country today.
Different world.
An entirely different world, okay? I'm sorry. And you see, you know, yeah. people forget this. From 1994 to 2004, you could not buy an assault weapon. You could not. It was against the law. How many people, I had Senator Murphy, Chris Murphy on my podcast. There's another guy. Jesus Christ, this guy was the Democratic nominee for president? We get 55%.
Chris Murphy.
Yes.
Remind me?
He's a senator from Connecticut. That's okay. He's a senator from Connecticut. He's very big
he's
on gun
senator.
Issues.
Blumenthal is
the I think Chris is Irish, but I don't know. But I think Chris Murphy.
Well, Murphy.
Sounds,
if,
yeah, sounds pretty
Irish.
Irish. Yeah. Christopher is a kind of ultimate Christian.
So how old is he?
50-ish.
Yes.
He looks like he's
done.
But I'm just saying,
Chris Murphy. Sold.
Anything. Take it. I'll take
selling.
It. I'll take it right Chris, now.
Fucking Chris Murphy. I fucking love it. It's
right.
Yeah.
The people would come out of the woodwork.
Absolutely. I don't even know who the fucking guy is.
Right.
Done.
It's okay. There are other people that
yes.
would be.
And you know what's great? And I told this to Chris Christie once about. Timing is everything, and you got to go early. Like when Obama ran, they were like, oh, he's barely been a senator. And Obama was like, exactly the point. Now you don't have like a whole like a lifetime of bullshit to like, you know, comb through to try to get me on something. You're right, I'm new. And that's what works in America. I'm new. You don't have much on my past, and I'm new. America likes new. It's like strange. So Chris Murphy, whoever you are, yeah, come on down. We don't know anything about you, and that let's keep it that way.
I'm sitting there interviewing this guy, saying, "Jesus, get out there and fucking run!" You know.
Well, he's a white man
from Connecticut. So people are going to say, "Well, we can't nominate somebody from Connecticut. We can't nominate a white.
Straight,
we can't nominate a male.
Is he
we
straight?
Can't." I think so.
If you ever saw him,
He looks. I don't know how you
well,
look.
Well, like if he has a wife and kids.
I think he does, but I didn't get around to asking him. But
all right. Well,
as long as we know nothing, Chris Murphy's
as long
out
as we
there.
Know nothing about him, can we make him gay? It would help so much in the primary.
Okay.
It really would.
Well, maybe he's ambitious enough for a basket. He can turn back. I think it's a hard thing to pull off, be my guess.
Chris, you want to be president? Just one little thing.
But maybe he can be a... you know what? It is humor. It is exaggerated. And there is an element of truth to it.
To what?
If he was gay, he would be
there's a big... That's the bad thing about Democrats being so locked into identity politics. I've talked about this on our show, is that, like, the box checking, it's almost the way they, you know, write some certain scripts these days. Like, the box checking comes first, and then we write the show or go for the candidate. I mean, you cannot imagine a... Democratic ticket that was two white men. Now, maybe that's the way it should be. I'm not saying it shouldn't be that way, but the fact that it's not debatable, or the fact that if there were two great white men, it just wouldn't, like, oh, we know this ticket of Clinton Gore. You know, they were like neighboring states even. Like, that could never happen. And the fact that it could never happen, that bothers me. You know,
yeah,
I'm all for diversity.
I guess I'd say it probably wouldn't be wise. And I mean, look, we're the first party.
But limiting.
Know, we nominated and elected a black president. We nominated a female.
Right.
I mean, I think that's
but say,
that makes me proud to be a Democrat. And honestly, it's fine.
Right. Yeah, well, I'm all for the don't make me the diversity villain. I'm all for it. I'm just saying I don't like things that are limiting like that.
I don't know if
you know, like our governor, I think would be a very good candidate.
He's talented.
Look, California's a little too woke for me and everybody, quite frankly, out here. But
it's lost. Beverly Hills is too woke for you. If you go to fucking San Bernardino or Riverside, they wouldn't know what you're talking about. Okay. It is just where in this.
Okay, but fucking, I'm not going to move to Riverside.
I know.
But you can win the point.
You just got to deal with these things. You live in fucking paradise.
It's. No, you know what? If you lived in the state and you ever tried to cut down a tree in your backyard, or my solar took 3 years to hook up, this state is maddening. Please, I live here.
Okay.
Even still, I think Gavin Newsom would be an awesome
candidate.
That'd
be a great candidate.
I've been trying to get him to run since he was lieutenant governor. Sean Penn and I were at his house.
I love Sean.
Or not his house, I guess Sean's house, for a fundraiser some years ago, not that long ago. And I remember we said to him, run for president while you still look like a movie star. And I don't think that's a bad thing in America. And he's got a pair of balls.
He does.
He's shown that.
He kicked the shit out of Sean Hannity.
Yeah.
He
certainly has the credentials to win the primary easily. And then hopefully he's a good politician. He can tack to the center a little more as you do. I think he would win big.
But Newsom is a very good communicator. And if I'm sorry, I wish he did a debate with Ron DeSantis. You wouldn't even. I would love to make a book on that.
This is America. It's politics is show business. You know, he just has a leading man kind of thing going on. And California is kind of a big state. I mean, I know it's in the bag, no matter who the Democrat is. But there's just a lot to thinking about. The candidate, I'm sorry, I know it's wrong, but it is kind of like reality TV. I mean, the primary process, I mean, that Republican debate, what was the point of it? The guy who's going to get the nomination wasn't even there. So it was just theater. It was to see them land.
It had 12.5, it broke 12.5 million viewers.
I know, but because it's theater. It's just watching them, hit their points with each other and try to score. It's a game. So, you know, you want on your side, like something that's like, yeah, has some show business appeal. I'm not saying some of the other candidates don't, but I'm going to go for, charisma over dull. If all things are other sort of equal. And I think the Democrats, they all are kind of on the same page. I mean, is there a lot of light between what Gavin Newsom thinks about stuff and what Gretchen Whitmer does? No.
No. That's not, honestly, most of the stuff that the identity left wants, probably stuff I'm pretty in agreement with, for the most part, I don't agree. But
they'll fight among themselves. Say the ticket is Gavin Newsom, Gretchen Whitmer. They'll be like, why is she the vice president? Why not? And that's a good point.
Because she ran and got more delegates. Right. What can I say?
Right. Yeah, leave it to the voters.
People know that he's a white male. They know that she's a female. Let me tell you, I've seen Gretchen Whitmer. You're not going to confuse her with a dude. Okay?
Right.
Hey, Governor, how you doing? It's good. Yeah, she's a female.
So what do you think is going to be the next 2 years now? So the election is, like you were saying before, like imagine it this November. So we have a little more than a year.
A little more than a year.
And the candidates will be decided by the summer, right? That's when the conventions are and the primaries are over. So it'll be Trump for the Republicans, for sure,
maybe.
Right?
No.
No?
I mean, first of all, the guy is overweight and he's 17.
Well, if he's alive, and he'll be alive.
I, that if some jury comes back, I don't know. Certainly he is the probable nominee. But
why are you so careful about this? I mean, it's
because
Trump.
It's going to be
Trump.
Some chance he could not do that well in Iowa. And if he ever gets people, like I don't think it's a big chance. I don't think he's definitely the nominee.
No, he's Hitler, and I don't mean that in the wrong way. He's not the guy who wanted to kill all the Jews, but he is the guy with a messianic hold over a certain kind of person who feels cheated and wronged. He's not going to lose this nomination. He wants this Frazier rematch badly.
So people say you should never compare, talk about Hitler. No, you should. So we just went through this terrible thing in the world, and we're not going to talk about it. We're not going to act like it ever happened, that there wasn't this sort of, you know, extreme.
No. And you should be able to compare someone to Hitler in a certain way. Like, no, Trump is not Hitler. Hitler was evil in what he wanted to do. Trump is not.
So anybody that doesn't want to do that, do me a favor. Go on your computer, Triumph of the Will. And just watch the first 10 minutes.
I've seen it.
And tell me that we shouldn't be talking about this. It's literally the airplane through the clouds, descending to the masses. All right?
Yes.
And when Germany was a great country, we're going to bring back what it's all nostalgia for, you know. But James, this is not the same country we grew up in. Yeah, and it's not going to be the same country 20 years from now.
Right.
There's nothing I can do about it. It's changing, but that was the whole appeal, was he was swooping down to the masses, and I just found it, and I always used to show it to my classes. There's not much new here, people. There really isn't.
Well, there's certainly nothing new in human nature. That's what, you know, I mean, I know we're all like completely in the modern era now where we're fluid and we're all trans and on the spectrum and nothing. But really, I think people are basic. I don't think people evolve as quickly as the younger generation thinks they can, like two completely different kinds of humans. We're still the same kind of lizard brain people. You know, we haven't advanced in 100 years, maybe in 1,000 a little bit we will, but evolution doesn't work that quickly. And we're just going to make the same kind of lizard brain decisions we always have.
So the Foreign Affairs, which is a kind of Tony journal, it's got like a gray cover, and they call me. And they asked me to do Cicero's brother wrote a memo.
Cicero.
And my conclusion was, we haven't thought of a fucking new thing since. They were talking about filing fake lawsuits against people and how you go negative early and shit. This is like, oh my God, it was the Clinton 92 campaign. It's the economy, stupid. It's the war room. It's the same shit they had back in Cicero's brother. Well, I mean, the Greeks knew.
Well, that's what's so frustrating about, you know, people who want to, like, bring back communism and stuff and think that might be worth another try. Because, like, you know what? I know we're old and that makes us stupid because we know stuff. But, like, we've seen people try this communism thing. Trust us. Trust. I know you don't want to read about it. Maybe that's too complicated, and Che Guevara makes a great t-shirt. I don't want to upset you, but it was a giant disaster, this communism thing. And so, like, let's just put that one off the table, because we, like, did try it, and it wasn't that fucking long ago, because we were alive for it.
So the most effective anti-communists were actually the liberals. The ADA, which is like the oldest, because they thought, hey, this looks kind of like not a bad idea.
Right.
And then they went and actually saw it and came back and said, it's a really bad idea.
Most of them, yes.
I mean,
Stalin had a lot of fans on the left in the 1930s.
He did. When they told Stalin about the night of the long knives.
Sure.
You know what he said? What a guy.
How do we know that?
I think that's pretty accurate.
It just doesn't sound like the Stalin.
Well, I know. He said it in Russian.
What a guy. I mean, he wasn't that kind of dude.
He was a dictator. No, everything to these.
What a guy.
It was about. Stalin's. There's a lot of history. Stalin was a dominant figure in World War II.
Stalin killed so many more people than Hitler.
Oh.
And does not get the credit.
Right. And Hitler, like, needed a reason to kill you.
Right.
Stalin didn't need a reason.
A terrible reason, yeah, but a reason, you're right.
No man, no problem.
That was Stalin.
Yeah.
And you know who adopted that? Saddam Hussein.
I'm sure he did.
He did. That was his.
He didn't have enough people to kill. No person, no problem. Right. He didn't have enough people to kill.
I mean, he was like. You can't argue with it.
I can't.
Yeah.
You know, I can't get enough of Stalin. Because, like, God damn, man, this guy is.
Well, again, if people think that Hitler was the biggest mass murderer of the 20th century, he was not.
What about the Chinese guy?
Yes, Mao.
What?
Yes, he also starved.
What about the Japanese in World War II?
So brutal. Well, especially before World War II when they invaded China.
What was their view of 1931?
You what?
You asked an American when World War II started. We'll say December 7th, 1941. Shit.
Well, again, I promise you, the vast majority of the kids in this country couldn't tell you that if you had 1,000 guns to their head. They don't know what world, they don't know what century it was in. Some of them, you know, there's still some people being educated. But, I mean, when you look at, like, the statistics just on reading, it's like, we're below like 30%.
Remember that some teach you did on Real Time where you'd go out and ask people, where's Queen Elizabeth from? And they'll say, Egypt.
I showed a video. I know what you're talking about.
You know what I'm talking about?
Yeah, it was like a jaywalking thing where they asked people on the street, you know, questions. And these are real. I mean, you can tell that they're real.
Right.
And the level of ignorance is like way beyond what I thought. The first one was a... Who was the first person to land on the sun?
Right, right.
And the answer, of course, was Lance Armstrong.
And the problem is they didn't look like stupid people.
They looked like regular people. That's scary.
Right. It's not like, you know, every time a tornado hits, it hits a trailer park and they got...
James, somewhere along the way, the educational system in this country really fell apart for all kinds of reasons in all kinds of districts. And I think the Democrats going to have to own a little bit of that because they are the party. I mean, what is the Democratic Convention? It's all teachers, and my sister's a teacher. I love the teachers, always defended them. But our schools are turning out idiots.
But the Republicans, I never met a book burner that I liked.
Well, bully for you.
I'm not.
Quit bragging.
Well, I know, but you have these people in the schools have become such a cultural...
Yeah, battleground.
You know, some...
This is new on the left, to use children sometimes as cannon fodder in your culture wars. That seems...
Look what you're right there. I mean, you're way too... I have a lot of problems, same problems you do with the extreme left, but I keep coming back to the same thing. It's not the majority of our political party.
Just because they're not the majority doesn't mean they don't have the bullwhip, if that's the... No, what am I trying to say? They don't have the... Whatever, the riding crop. They don't have a thing that makes the horse go. So 11% can be, unfortunately, dominant.
They're strategically located.
Yeah.
Okay, because they're in academia, they're in the media.
Academia, media, yes.
Entertainment. I mean, this place is overrun with them.
And they're mean girls. They know how to, like, bully people.
They hate bullying, but that's what they do. And so it doesn't really matter the 90% or whatever
bully,
they are.
What they do is, if you're the adjunct art history teacher at some underattended, overpriced college, they'll get rid of your ass. They're not going to fuck with you and me. All right, they actually pick and target vulnerable people.
Yes,
which is the opposite of what a liberal
would
should like be willing to stand up
exactly.
to power, but
exactly.
and not. But boy, let me tell you, you know, if right. you're the civics teacher at Harvard Westlake,
right?
Well, you'd say. Oh. You know, you need the job, you got a family, they'll run your ass right out of town.
I mean, this is like a frustrating thing for me that I read so many stories about insanity that's going on at some college, like you're citing. Whew. And I realize that, like, but the Democrats, the liberals, they don't see this shit because, like, the media does not give them stories that would upset them. And they don't want to think that the problem is academia. But it is, and there's just, every week there's a story about some professor at some college who had to quit or was fired these are liberal colleges with liberal professors making war on other liberals because they're not quite liberal enough. And the statement, their anti-racist statement did you read that story in the Times about the DEI statements? And if you just say, I think all people should be treated equally, you're considered a right winger. Now that's a migration of thought that is not healthy.
So it's not helpful. So right now, DeSantis is trying to dismantle the system of higher education in Florida. Right? The University of Florida, most people don't realize, is like a top.
Oh, come on, nobody ever got educated in Florida.
The University
anywhere.
Of Florida is
ever.
Is a top ranked public university.
It's a party state.
No, it's not. Okay.
That's
such a. There are more people that go to the University of South Florida than go to Ohio State.
Woo!
Okay, but I'm just saying.
Okay. Well,
you're right. We
All
do.
Right.
We go after some right. humanity. They go after the whole fucking system.
All right, it's Harvard. That's what I meant to say. Florida.
but Sanders is going after a real treasure. Higher ed in Florida's got. It's good. I mean,
yeah.
And they're like trying to dismantle the whole fucking thing.
Yeah, he turned out to be a putz. And I tell you, I hadn't seen him before I saw the debate.
Right.
And wow, was I underwhelmed. Like, I thought just like following him in print or on the computer, but terrible. Like, you're talking about political talent, he seemed to have none. I like the way he handled the pandemic, and they've been very disingenuous about the way they characterized his success. Times did a big story, front page, like, you know, he fucked up the pandemic, and then, like, buried in the story, you read the line that should have led, which was Florida deaths better than the national average. And I remember being there, and it did not feel oppressive like it does here. It did here. This was like, you know, I don't know. So, but it doesn't matter. He's not going to be president. He's terrible. Terrible. Oh, my God. I was shocked. I thought he was going to, at the debate, I was like, oh, my God, this guy. You know what he reminded me of? Scott Walker. Do you remember Scott Walker?
Scott Walker is actually a more personable guy.
Well, that's saying a lot about what a drip DeSantis is.
I've actually had a couple of social encounters with Scott Walker. I did a.
He was going to be like the next thing for a minute.
He was a very much of a political guy. And if you talk to Scott Walker just about politics, I remember when he was governor, I think it was Tammy Baldwin was in a general election. I said, well, how are we going to do in the Senate? Raise yourself. Y'all going to win it. I mean, DeSantis.
So you're saying there was a human there?
Yeah. I mean, Scott Walker was a total political animal, but if you met him, you could see how he was successful.
Whereas DeSantis is an automaton?
Well, DeSantis made... So the person that ever... This is acknowledged. The woman named Susie Wiles. She's actually Pat Summerall's daughter, who was a big sports broadcaster.
Well, I remember Pat Summerall.
And she was DeSantis's operative. She's a Republican operative. And she was his... Made him in the congressional race, ran his governor's thing. And Mrs. DeSantis knocked her off. Big error. All these stories that are coming out. So she went to Mar-a-Lago. He's working with Trump. All these stories you're hearing about him eating pudding with his fingers.
Yeah.
And all the use of private airplanes. That's all Susie Wiles.
Wow.
In politics, everybody thinks the most important thing is the friends you make. Let me give you a clue. The enemies you make. Don't make any enemies that you don't have to. Some people are, by nature, my guy wants the Senate seat, your guy wants the Senate seat, we're enemies. But that's it. That's an enemy of necessity. Make very few enemies of choice in your life.
Yeah,
and they knocked that woman off, and she's sitting there sticking pins in that freaking doll every night. And they show these pictures of her with Trump. And all of these, and every reporter I know has her on speed dial, and she's got every reporter on speed dial. This is the way that American politics works among political people. And you just see the knives in DeSantis, and you go, holy shit. And they, and one thing about these Republicans, the Democrats, what you think we have, when they go after each other, shit. they don't hold back. It's not, they don't make a civil attack. And I agree with the, you know, my opponent made a good point, but can I amplify all that? Yeah. No. My opponent's a
piece of shit.
Piece of shit, let me tell you. But they slam bodies, dude. They really do.
Do you miss, like, being in the trenches like that? You look, I could see it where you're getting, and you know what? You haven't lost one fucking step as far as, like, you're the exact same guy. I don't know how old you are, but thank God it's older than me, somebody. I feel like you could do it tomorrow and you could do it better. It is a shame that we're such an ageist country that we really don't look to, like, you know, it's like, no, that's AOC's view. He's old. Like, yeah, but maybe he knows something.
Do something just to walk back in a campaign headquarters, like just running the high that I would get working in campaigns. And I've got presidential race, of course. But, you know, I've worked in 22 different countries.
Wow.
And I used to love, I'd go to Israel. I'd pick up the airport. You had to go to work. I used to do in Argentina what they call a turn and burn. I would fly down one night, work all day, and fly back the next night and sleep on an airplane.
Oh, my God.
But I love the smell of a headquarters. I actually like politicians. As a group of people, if you told me you got to spend 2 hours with a bunch of bankers, a bunch of baseball players, a bunch of welders, or a bunch of politicians,
it's in your
I'd
blood.
Actually like...
Of course.
By and large, I actually like politicians.
You know, people like us, we like politics. You know, we're a little bit like out of favor in culture because people used to, more broadly, I think, follow politics closely. And now, you know, they do. They argue about it a lot. But, you know, there's a million other distractions. But we're like that generation and some people, we just like, it's just, there's nothing quite as interesting as people vying for the most, you know, powerful job in the world. It's like, you know, tribes watching the two dudes fight for, you know, who's going to be the leader of the tribe. It's our version. And I don't know. I don't know why any, it frustrates me when I know people who are really smart, but they don't follow politics, you know? They think it's kind of like, makes it, it's like, it's impure, you know, like.
Yeah?
Yeah.
Really?
I know, but it would be less impure if you would follow it. You know, that's what I want to say. It's like, if you would follow it, then, you know, you'd be a good voter next time. You know, you'd understand what the issues, but, you know.
I never, the first time I encountered these spirit people, actually, there was a race in Texas in 1984. And I ran into, like, real, understand, we talked about this earlier, the real liberals, the real leftists, they like the idea of losing. It makes them feel better. These stupid fucking people. I'm serious. And they don't like politics. They think it's a... And I loved it. I've literally had as much fun as...
Well, this is me too. This is like such a holiday for me. Not that I haven't loved every guest I've had on Club Random, but I never really had one. But the whole point of this podcast was kind of to get away from politics. But, you know, I miss it. So, like,
why do you want to get away from it?
Because I have the because I have Real Time on HBO. That's about politics, that show. This is something different.
I think Real Time's about culture, but it's your show, so what am I to tell you what the fucking show is about?
I'm just saying, okay, to have somebody who is a fellow political junkie who I could just talk to for 2 hours about politics was a big treat for me.
That's a big treat for
me. Yeah, all right.
I love talking about politics.
I know you do. I could do it all night, but I've had you here for 2 fucking hours.
And no, no, that's why
I like it with 10
time.
Minutes.
Thank you.
You're the best.
I love politics.
Oh, me too.
And I actually like politicians for the most part. I mean, some I don't like.